titled The Day of the Lord. So we're going to talk about the Day of the Lord. Now, I probably don't have to tell you this, but I think you probably understand this, that a lot of the gospel preaching today is candy-coated. It's candy-coated. And if you go to the book of Acts, which was the first thrust of gospel preaching, you will find that there was an underlying theme throughout gospel ministry in all of the sermons that are recorded in the book of Acts. And that underlying theme, that underlying thrust of what they preach in the book of Acts was very plain and simple. And it was this. It was that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he was crucified. And God raised him from the dead. And because of that, that he is coming back. And he is coming, not riding on a donkey, as a lowly servant, he's coming back as the judge of all the earth. And the thrust of their ministry was, judgment day is coming for every single soul that has ever lived. That was the thrust of their ministry. And the only way to avoid standing before God to be judged, who is totally holy and righteous and pure, the only way no flesh, no sinful humanity can stand in his presence. And the only way to avoid standing before him to be judged guilty for all of our transgressions is that we've got to have an advocate. And his name is Jesus Christ. And there's no other advocate. There's no other name given. There's no other way given. There are not many paths to God. There is only one path, and that path is through Jesus Christ. So in stating that, I think it'll give us a little insight into this lesson of what we're going to talk about today. And boy, I got a lot to get done here, but I'm going to rapid fire, and just stay with me, and I believe the Lord is going to speak to you, and he's going to bring conviction into your heart based upon his word. And if there's anyone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, my friend, you might not have another opportunity. When you leave this building, you might not get another chance to make Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior. So I implore you today, listen to the word of the Lord, and you judge it whether or not it is truth or not, because the word of God speaks for itself. So we read this in the Old Testament book of Joel, chapter 2. He says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the earth tremble. For the day of the Lord is coming. It is at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess. A day of clouds and thick darkness. Like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations. Verse 11, the Lord gives voice before his army. His camp is very great. Strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. And then we read this in Acts 17:31, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. Talking about God the Father has appointed a day when he will judge the world. We are racing towards that day, my friends. You know, and with all the murders and all of the tragedies, all of the violence that we see in the innocent lives taken. You know, a greater tragedy than any of that is that they would plunge into a Christless eternity, to have to face the judgment of God without the blood of Jesus Christ having saved them and redeeming them. My friends, that is a greater tragedy than what we see in all the violence, not only here in the United States of America, but around the entire world. And he tells us right here, this is a verse taken from another sermon right in the book of Acts, that God the Father has appointed a day, and he will judge this world by the man whom he has ordained. That's Jesus Christ. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. I'm always reminded of the interview with Larry King when someone was interviewing him and asked him the question, Larry, if you were able to interview any person who has ever lived in all of the history of the entire world, who would it be and what question would you ask? And without hesitation, Larry King said, it would be Jesus Christ. And I would ask him, did you really rise from the dead? Because if you did, that changes everything. Hallelujah. Look at what this word says, that he has given us assurance that there's going to be a day of judgment by raising him from the dead. Look at what Paul says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, there it is again, our subject, the day of the Lord so comes like a thief in the night when they say peace and safety. Then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Now he's talking to believers, but you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are sons of light, sons of the day. We are not of the night. We are not of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Well, there is tremendous scriptural evidence, just some small portions of many, many, many scriptural references found throughout the Word of God that make a reference, a direct reference to the day of the Lord. So what does it really mean? What is the day of the Lord? I want to give you several biblical definitions of the day of the Lord. I mean, we just read some very intriguing verses of Scripture that make a direct reference to the day of the Lord. But let's define it biblically. What does the day of the Lord really mean? Now, we must understand, again, that God is holy. He is pure. His presence is so awesome. There's no flesh that can stand in his sight. Because we're talking about an eternal being who has forever lived. He had no beginning of days and he has no ending of days. He is, as Moses said, he is from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. He is the creator. Our mind cannot wrap itself around that statement. Because everything that we judge or we analyze, we do so that everything has a point of origin. It has a beginning point. But with God, he had no beginning point. He has forever existed. He has forever inhabited all of eternity. That's why the scripture says the one who is and who was and who is to come. He is the Ancient of Days, is what the Old Testament scripture says. He is God Almighty, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And one day, the entire government of the entire world is going to rest upon his shoulders. And my friends, he revealed himself, this eternal God revealed himself through one man, Jesus Christ, born of a woman, but without the human agency of a father. So he had no sin nature. He had no taint of sin in his life, therefore qualifying him to be the ultimate, perfect, eternal sacrifice for every sin that you ever committed or ever will commit, that He is the ultimate sacrifice. And there's only one name that you can call on the day of judgment, and that's the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because there is power, there is authority. My friends, there is salvation in that name. That's why these men preach with such fire and such passion. They didn't sugarcoat it. They plainly declared that there's coming a day where this holy, righteous God will execute justice because His very nature demands it. He cannot help Himself because He is a God of righteousness and a God of judgment. And that, my friend, is why we can give these definitions, because it is all surrounding the very person of God, and His very character and nature demands justice and equity. So number one, in the biblical definitions, the day of the Lord is a day of vengeance upon a Christ-rejecting world. Look at what this says in 2 Thessalonians. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's not the kind of a scripture that TV evangelists are going to use when it's offering time. Hello, somebody. Right? But this is the truth of the Word of God. It's amazing how we like to pick and choose the scripture. But Paul said this. He said, I declare the whole counsel of God. He preached faith at times. He preached words of encouragement. He preached about the Holy Spirit. You know, but then he also preached about the righteous judgment of God, because he declared the whole counsel. We cannot pick and choose in the Word. We have to declare all of the gospel. I had a friend of mine, sometimes I used to share some things with him, and he said, man, I don't like that page. Let's go to another page. But that was the page that he needed. Isn't it amazing? We try to run from what God is trying to speak to us, how he's trying to work in our lives. And let me go to a better page, praise God. And, you know, there's a lot of pages. I mean, my Bible right here has over 1,800 pages, you know, in the Bible. So there's all kind of pages. But my friends, we have to stay with what the Word of God says. There is all kind of scriptures for every area of our life. Words of encouragement, words of faith building, you know, words of relationships and words about money and money issues and, you know, and all of those things. But the underlying message always remains the same, is that Jesus Christ came to this earth and He died for our sins. He revealed the very person, character, and nature of God. He was laid in the tomb, and when God raised Him from the dead and exalted Him to His own right hand, He is now in the heavens until the day of restitution of all things. He's coming back. He's waiting for the moment. And that's why the Bible says there's coming a day when the... no, and it's not Donald. There's coming a day when the trump of the Lord is going to sound, praise God. Come on, somebody. The trump of the Lord is going to sound. And he said, then we who are ready, we're going to recognize that sound. I don't want to be caught asleep, as the Bible says. We are not of the night. We are not drunken in the night. We are of the light. We are of the gospel. We are sober-minded people. So let's put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of salvation that is our eternal hope. Glory be to God. So there's coming a day, my friends. It is a day of vengeance upon a Christ-rejecting world. I didn't include this one in the notes, but Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:11, he said that we as believers, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, meaning we convince them to salvation. The word terror, it means a reverential fear of God has a controlling motive of life. Knowing the fear, the terror of God, means I know the fear of God, and I am a God-fearing person. And because I am a God-fearing person, I try to reach others with the message of the gospel. And because I am a God-fearing person, that gospel, that fear of God, is also controlling my life. It's making me live and walk right before God. Hallelujah. Because there's a day of judgment that is coming. It's a day of vengeance to a Christ-rejecting world. Here's number two. The day of the Lord is a day in which God will deal with the wickedness of humanity. As every soul will face God as the ultimate righteous judge. 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. You cannot argue with the word of the Lord, my friends. We have scripture after scripture after scripture emphasizing that that day is coming. It's coming. God is going to deal with the wickedness of humanity. God is going to execute justice. People might commit crimes and they might get away with it, but they cannot escape the righteous judgment of God. It is impossible, because the Bible says that He sees everything we do. Everything is naked and open unto the eyes of the one with whom one day we must give account. So, my friends, we must allow these things to direct our life, to guide us into the path of righteousness before God, to live in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's the third definition. The day of the Lord can refer to a single day, or sometimes it is referred to as a period of time. We have both instances in Scripture. In some of the references about the day of the Lord, some of them seem to imply that it's a single day. Other references seem to imply that it is a succession of days. So whether it is one single day or whether it's many days, we don't need to get bogged down with that. We know that there's going to be a day where it's going to happen. And if it's successive days, there's going to be a day where it's going to begin. Amen? And we need to understand that and be ready for it. Number four, the Old Testament prophets refer to the day of the Lord as a day of great judgment that would affect the physical world as God judges the proud and the arrogant. Look at this, Isaiah 13. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and He will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. My friends, do you see the righteous judgment of God in that statement? Again, why do we find such statements like this in God's Word? Because God is so righteous and holy and pure and just, and His very nature demands justice. It demands justice. So there's coming a day when He is going to lay the proud and the arrogant low. He's going to lay them low. He is going to judge them, my friends. He's going to punish the world for its evil and the world and the wicked for their iniquity. It is going to happen. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Here's number five in the definitions. Jesus made a reference to the day of the Lord in the Olivet Discourse as He alluded to the prophet of Joel. And that's what we started with, the prophet of Joel, chapter 2. And look at what he says, Matthew 24. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Now, my friends, we have not seen that. Now, I know there's, you know, last summer we dealt with more of the topics in the school of prophecy. We talked about the rapture and, you know, and the tribulation period, the appearing of the Antichrist and all of those things. And you know, in this material, we're not really defining the rapture or the timing of the rapture. Everybody has different viewpoints of when God's people are going to be called out of this world. You know, will it be before the tribulation? Will it be in the middle of the tribulation? Will it be at the end? You know, so we're not going to get bogged down with those things today. But we know that one way or another, it's going to happen. We have always held to the pre-tribulation rapture concept. And I haven't found any evidence, and I know there's a lot of teachings going around that are making some changes and adjustments on that. But, you know, listen, I've always been pre-trib rapture. I'm staying pre-trib rapture. I believe that God's going to take us out before all hell is unleashed on this earth. But even if he does not, can I tell you this? I'm still going to preach the gospel. I'm still going to have church, praise God. Hallelujah. The Antichrist can't be saved, but I'll preach to him anyway. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Because it doesn't matter, my friends. The only thing that matters is that our life is hidden in Christ. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. And I am looking forward to that day. So I don't get caught in all those arguments and all of those debates and stuff. And you know, listen, man, there's too much living. There's too much preaching to be done right now. And all I know is we got to get the word out while there is yet time. And I do know this. We haven't seen the sun darken, and we haven't seen the stars fall from heaven, and we haven't seen the moon not give its light, or as Joel said, the moon turned to blood. I know they got the four blood moons and all that stuff, but listen, we haven't seen this yet. Amen? We haven't seen it. So if we see it, understand two things in your theology. Number one, either the rapture happened and you got left behind, or number two, maybe the mid-trib and the post-trib people were right. Amen? But one thing, if you see it happen, you better call upon the name of the Lord, because whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the scripture says. All right? Here's number six, last definition. The day of the Lord is a day of healing and restoration for the nation of Israel, as Christ becomes enthroned in her midst. Zephaniah 3, it says, "Sing, O daughter of Zion." This is referring to Israel, the nation of Israel. He says, "Shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem, because the Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst, and you shall see disaster no more." God is once again going to deal with the nation of Israel at the day of the Lord. Here's number seven. We must also know that the day of the Lord is connected to the events of the Great Tribulation, for that period is referred to as the day of wrath. Look at this, Revelation 6. It says, "The kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave, every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb.'" Do y'all see that? Talking about Jesus. The wrath of the Lamb is Jesus. Look at what he says next. "For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" See, right now he offers himself as Lord and Savior. But when he comes back, he's coming back as the judge of all the earth. Says so right here in the Word of God. Well, there's the definitions. Let's talk about the purpose. What is the purpose of the day of the Lord? Even though the day of the Lord is the execution of judgment, it is also a time of God defending and redeeming Israel from all of her enemies. Let's again visit Joel, Old Testament Joel chapter 3. "Multitudes, multitudes," he says, "in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will grow dark. The stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord also will roar from Zion. He will utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth will shake. But the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel." My. So the purpose of the day of the Lord tells us right here that God is going to defend and redeem Israel from all of her enemies. Israel is a miracle of God. If you trace the history of Israel and how that miraculously, by the vote of the United Nations, they once again regain their national statehood in 1948, a miracle of God. When the coalition in the Middle East went against Israel, seeking to destroy them and annihilate them, and what has been now called the Six-Day War in 1967, that they miraculously defeated all of their enemies. The world was perplexed and confused because they were totally outnumbered, outmanned. The weaponry was far superior of those that came against them. And my friend, it was a baffling thing. In 6 days, they had victory. How do you explain such things like that? You have to explain it through the eyes of Scripture. Is that God is a defender of His people. He defended that nation. He gave them great victory. The world doesn't understand that, but we understand it if we see things through the lens of Holy Scripture. Here's another verse that kind of further gives insight to that. Romans 11 says, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the Deliverer will come out of Zion, and He will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. It is stated that there are so many atheists now that are of Jewish descent. So many atheists in Israel. Mind-boggling how people's minds can be so blinded. But the Scripture says that blindness in part has happened to Israel. You know, so the Word of God says that they are spiritually blind. But there's coming a day when God is going to lift that veil off of their eyes. And that's why the Scripture says they're gonna see the One who died for them. They're going to see Him coming in the clouds of glory. And they're going to weep. They're going to mourn. They're going to wail. Because they're going to realize this is the One that we were looking for all that time. And we were blind to it. We couldn't see it. They rejected Him. That's why John 1:12 said He came unto His own, meaning the Jewish people. And they would not receive. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But to those who received Him, to them He gave the authority to become children of God. That's you and I. Amen? That's you and I. He gave us the authority to become children of God. Hallelujah. Here's number two under purpose. What is the purpose of the day of the Lord? Number two, it'll be a day when Almighty God is exalted and all the idols of the heathen will be destroyed. Obadiah says the day of the Lord will be upon all nations. The day of the Lord will come upon all the nations. And he says, as you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal shall return upon your own head. Isaiah 2, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty, upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low. Wow. I mean, it's coming, my friends. Here's another purpose. God is going to lay low all the idols of the heathen. He's going to destroy them. Here's number three. Another purpose is that God will be revealed as the righteous God of all the earth. Isaiah 56, thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness is going to be revealed. Psalms 46, he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. That includes the United States of America. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Here's another one, Romans chapter 2. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Talking about those who would refuse the gospel, would refuse the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, you're treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath. What is he talking about? He's talking about the day of the Lord. Because he says it's going to be a day of the revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Look at what he says next. Who will render to each one according to his deeds. Do you realize, my friends, that God has a smartphone? And he is recording your life and my life. And one day, going to be played back. And man, you got to know that you know that Jesus, as your lawyer, as your advocate, will stand and say, "Father, it's erased." Hallelujah. Hillary Clinton erased her emails. Praise God, Jesus erases our past. Amen. Canceled in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Child of God, thanks be unto God. We don't have to stand to be judged. That brings us to the last and final part here in our message today on the day of the Lord. And this is the day of salvation. We're going to talk about the judgment that brings salvation. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He provided escape from the day of judgment. Look at what it says, 1 Thessalonians 5. For God did not appoint us to wrath. Oh, hallelujah. He did not appoint us to wrath or to judgment, my friends, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, in other words, if we died or if we're still alive, that we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. Oh, thank God. Thank God that this judgment, this judgment that brings salvation, is the good news of the gospel. When Jesus went to the cross, my friends, He provided escape from the day of judgment. How did He do that? Again, because He was perfect. He was sinless. He never committed sin. He was a bona fide member of the human race because He was born of a woman, but He did not have the agency of the seed of a man. Hallelujah. So He was distinct, separate, set apart. He was not a sinner. So He became the ultimate sacrifice. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah gives us a wonderful illustration of the suffering servant, because Almighty God, God the Father, poured out judgment on His own Son. Now think about that. He poured out judgment on His own seed so that you and I could be a child of God and we could cry out, "Abba, Father," which is a personal term that simply means my daddy, my God, my Father. Hallelujah. It denotes relationship. It denotes heirship. Look at what the suffering servant illustration is in Isaiah. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Just let that sink in for a moment. Stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Judgment. The righteous judgment of God poured out on His own Son, His only begotten Son. Isaiah goes on and it says, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes, we are healed. Hallelujah. That means I am restored. I am no longer separated from God. I am no longer dominated by sin's power. I am no longer broken in relationship. My life is no longer messed up. I am now restored to God. Hallelujah. And the Lord's blessing and favor and anointing is upon every born-again child of God. And that's why we could say, greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. Thanks be unto God. Here's number three. It is faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross that saves us from God's wrath and gives us peace. I love Romans 5. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, hallelujah. And you know, it's almost like you've been charged with murder. You've been charged with murder. And you are guilty of the murder. And you go stand before the judge. And you know that you're guilty. and you stand before the judge in a righteous court of law, and you know that the evidence is all against you, and you know yourself that you're guilty of sin, and you are waiting for the pronouncement of judgment, and then you go before the judge, and the judge is getting ready to pronounce guilty as charged, and all of a sudden you have someone that stands up in the court and says, I did that. He's innocent. I did that. I'm the one who must be charged. I'm the one who is guilty. My friends, that is exactly what Jesus Christ did for us. So that's why the Bible says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Oh, hallelujah. I think we ought to shout unto God. Give Jesus a hand of praise. Somebody shout unto God. My friend, this is the good news that everybody needs. Why are young black men dying on the streets of this nation? Because they don't have salvation. And nobody is winning them to Jesus. My friends, why do we see so much injustice throughout this nation? Because they don't know Jesus. They don't know the salvation of the Lord. They are broken. They are broken, my friends. And the only method, the only prescription that can bring healing and restoration is when we connect to Jesus Christ and something supernatural takes place on the inside of us. Here's number four, the last and final thing. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the time to be saved and to avoid the coming day of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:2. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I think I have presented the case well. And the evidence is before us. And there's only one choice to make. And that choice is, it's either yes to Jesus Christ or it's no to Jesus Christ.